This meeting is now being recorded.
All right, welcome everyone. This is the latest and greatest version of the Competition and Consumer Choice Subteam Meeting, currently number 27, the 23rd of August, 2017. I'm Jordan Buchanan, the chair of the subteam. And I think we are ready to start. On the agenda today, we have a few updates to papers that have been sent around, along with an initial revision by WODO, I guess, that he just sent out this morning. But why don't we dive right in? The first of these is revision to the section related to pricing and the net price increase in particular. I think Jonathan sent around an update to that yesterday. Jonathan, do you want to talk us through your changes?
Sure. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, great. I don't know the best way to talk through pros like this, but basically, as overview, the latest legacy TLD to pump up their prices was .NET. When we look historically, they all raise their price every time they get the chance. And so it seemed worth talking about that fact. What I try to do here was say that the wholesale prices were above the GTLDs, but they weren't statistically significant. That's from the previous paper. The absence of data, transactional data, makes it difficult for us to see if there was any real dancing below the price caps in terms of affected prices from competition. But that appears, there's some anecdotal evidence there, like, you know, promotional prices like .XXX giving away a bunch of domains and things like that. But it appears to be the exception. In fact, the pricing seems to be right around the caps. And historically, the registries have raised prices allowed by the caps, and all of them have done it. And .NET is still, I think, one of the cheaper ones, but that's the most recent one to do it. Then what I try to talk about is something that was in a footnote, basically, in the original draft, which is that these price increases themselves are not necessarily dispositive of the absence of price-based competition, because the competitive price might be something higher than the cap. So the way that Jordan's always talked about it is that, prior to the new GTLD program, the price that these folks wanted to charge or would have charged for a new GTLD is $15. And now after the new GTLD program has come in place, $10 is the new price. But because there's a price cap below $10, we can't see that movement, basically. So that's what I attempted to say here. As the competitive price might be higher than the existing caps. It's possible there's a market distortion created by the legal price, legacy price caps, which acts as a de facto cap on new GTLDs as well. Long term, this artificial constraint could have an impact on competition, particularly from smaller entrants without economies of scale. And then I just again said that we really can't reach definitive conclusion on the issue of wholesale price competition in the absence of adequate data. So more time has passed for the effective GTL entry to be fully felt. And so, it's our standard thing that, throwing it over the transom and saying it should be dealt with in future reviews as well. So those were the main points. I hope that's, enough kind of overview to, solicit questions or comments, about the new draft.
All right, thanks, Jonathan. Anyone, I have a quick comment or question. Anyone else have any questions or comments for Jonathan? I see Brian's got his hand raised. Go ahead, Brian.
You might be on mute, Brian.
Yeah, so far we can't hear Brian.
Okay. Sorry, was having trouble with my phone. A minor nitpick, Jonathan, about the statistically significant phrase. Was there statistical significance testing run on anything that was talked about in these paragraphs? It's just a kind of loaded term. That's all. It is.
I guess it is. If you've got an alternative, I didn't write that sentence.
Okay.
I left it in from the previous draft, and you let it slip through. But that said, if you've got a better way of saying it, then feel free to make the change.
Okay.
We should double check with the group, but I do think they had done some. I do think that comes from the analysis
group. It might have.
That there was a decrease, a slight increase in price, but it was not statistically significant. So Brian, maybe we should just double check that finding with where that came from. I think if we just look at the final report from analysis group, that's maybe where that came from.
Yeah, I do know that analysis group didn't run statistical significance tests, so it's just a minor question. I know, the kind of economists of the world will look at that and as if they ran statistical significance tests. It's a specific mathematical term, so I'll try to think of a clever alternative and send it to you and Jonathan if you don't mind.
We could just say the differences are not significant.
There you go.
And leave the statisticians out of it. But
great.
All right. And any other questions or comments for Jonathan? So I was just going to add, Jonathan, it'd be actually helpful to add some pros around, that $15 to $10 example, just sort of laying it out a little bit more. I can probably
Do
that, but adding a little bit more. Do that. We've been talking about this so much that it may sort of like I think we sort of jumped. We sort of see where you're getting at, but I think someone just coming to this for the first time may not understand what that notion of the competitive price really is.
Okay.
So I can try to
Some context. Okay.
All right. Like we don't have any other questions or comments, so we'll take a look at those two issues. And then otherwise, hopefully, this will be a good addition to the eventual final report. So let's jump to everyone's favorite topic, parking. Jonathan had also sent out some edits on the parking paper, so Jonathan, I'll turn it back over to you.
Okay. So this is a long paper for me to read to you. So I think that the high level of this is that that we had two objectives in this latest draft of the analysis of parking. One was to try and contextualize the test we did as more important if it had succeeded than if it had failed, if that makes sense. The other was to get out some of the additional hypotheses associated with parking. to help underscore some of the complexities associated with trying to put parking in its place. And part of that is also our definition of parking includes sufficiently different types of domains that it's difficult to treat them as a single entity. And so as we kind of agreed on the call, we sort of a few calls ago decided to kind of take the prominence of the calculation away and not give it sort of equal standing as the other calculations of the paper, and so it's made its way into the footnote instead. Those are sort of the biggest pieces of this. At the top we talk about the basically, it felt like we were trying so hard to apologize all the way through this paper. I tried to rewrite it to be more direct and less passive language and things like that. And just said, the majority of domains in both legacy and new GTLDs are not primary identifiers of typical websites. And they're forwarded to other domains, including subdomains used only for email, monetized via advertising, or simply do not resolve, perhaps held in reserve by speculators. So that's kind of how I tried in prose to describe what the overall situations were. And then we said we called this parked, and if we use this expensive definition of parking, that's where we got the 68% of registrations. And then the rest of this is the same. Do I have scrolling control, or does everyone?
Everyone has scrolling
control. Okay, great. So then I'm coming down to the second page here. And then because the percentage of parked registrations in new GTLDs is somewhat higher than in legacy, 68 versus 56, this is Jamie's edit, so this is probably worth discussing. It's unfortunate he's not on the call, but so to understand whether this phenomenon would affect its conclusions. And so these are where the hypotheses are laid out. Hypotheses could be advanced which suggest counting certain types of domains differently when computing market share and concentration. For example, one possible reason for taking parking rates into account is that registration renewal rates may be negatively correlated with rates of certain types of parking, so that the current market shares of TLDs with relatively high parking rates may overstate their long-run competitive significance. And in that instance, you would discount at a rate commensurate with the correlation. And then an added hypothesis, that's the hypothesis that's been in there all along. Another hypothesis posits domains that are used as pointers imply a transition away from existing domain. So in this case, the domains to which others are pointed would be discounted at some rate. And then finally, it's possible that speculation has a pro-competitive effect not captured directly by market share and concentration calculations, but bridging new entrants to maturity, which generally takes 3 years. And given the mandate to examine the impact of new GTLDs, we wanted to, first see if there was a delta, and this part is essentially the same. We wanted to see if there was a delta between the legacy and new GTLDs. We found that there was, which is why I'm not completely in agreement with Jamie's edit above. I think he was just concerned that I was, that the text was too strident there before. But then the rest of the paper is fairly straightforward from what it was before. And it just, like I said, moved the calculation down into the footnote, et cetera, which Jordan had done in his draft. I guess I'll stop there. I think it's probably worthy of some discussion. Jamie's edit's probably worthy of some discussion because the term about the percentage of park registration in the GTLD being so large dates all the way back to Stan's initial draft, and it just had to do with the fact that the percentage being big overall and not about the delta, but that the number being big overall is what drove us to try and understand the implications of this phenomena. So that's why it was written the way that it was, and Jamie sort of jumping ahead to describing the delta as somewhat higher, and there may be some disagreement about that because of the 20%. But there you go. Are there questions about it? Comments?
All right. So, Jonathan, it's Jordan. I have a quick question, which is, I think we previously discussed Laureen had some edits. Are those her concepts incorporated into this as well?
So I worked from her draft. And so she has had this draft for a day. I removed a lot of what she wrote, but tried to capture the essence of what she wrote, if that makes sense. Because again, I feel like it was one of those things where it became a Christmas tree of passive language over time, because we were trying so hard to downgrade the importance of the test that we did and talk about how complicated this is and stuff like that. And so I just tried to switch things to more active language. So she's got the draft and is looking at it. One of the things she had was a fairly extensive footnote on the limitations of the calculation. While the calculation, and I'm forgetting the name of it, because there's a law firm on a show, television called Suits, that's Pearson Spector Lit, and so that's what I think of when I think of this test. Yes, thank you, Pearson Correlation Analysis. So Laureen went out and researched looking for criticisms of it, and had a pretty extensive footnote that talked about the fact that because it chose correlation and not causation, that you could end up being confused about the direction of the correlation if you weren't careful. It seemed to me that in this case, there wasn't an opportunity for that confusion, even though in some instances there can be. So I took it out, so I'll wait and see how she reacts to that. But I felt like it was trying too hard to kind of critique the methodology. But instead, I tried to put it in its place and simply say that it really would have been interesting had there been a positive result, and it's not particularly interesting that there wasn't. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think since there wasn't, it seems like there's really no opportunity to confuse causation and correlation, since we found that there is not a correlation. So you wouldn't be able to say that it was.
That's right. I think she was reacting to Stan's criticism of the simplicity of the calculation and went out proactively to find criticisms of it, but that particular criticism felt like one that wasn't applicable here.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think we all acknowledge it was a very simple. What we wanted to do is figure out if at a high level there was a easy to discover correlation that would give us a sound basis to back out the
parking. Right, and so I guess the question is there a, maybe I can, I was going to see if I can find that sentence. And you can see if I sort of captured it. I mean, that's probably a significant. So here's the sentence. It's on page 5 toward the top, and maybe folks can read this in particular, maybe in particular Brian. 2.5 lines down, while the identification of a relationship would have been interesting, the results of this test are by no means dispositive of a potential correlation. That's how I try to summarize it.
Yeah, that sounds correct to me. That's fine.
Okay.
Any other feedback for Jonathan? Or question?
I guess I don't have the ability to move that arrow. Okay.
All right. So why don't we go ahead? Thanks for this, Jonathan. I think it does make sense to try to discuss this on a plenary call so we make sure we have Jamie and Maureen's feedback as well. But for the moment, for our discussion here, this seems...
So, oh, I guess, do you have a, I guess before we leave it, do you have a thought on Jamie's edit? To page 2. However, because the percentage of parked registration in new GTLDs is somewhat higher than in legacy GTLDs, so I mean, basically, he jumped ahead to that calculation, and that wasn't really the motivation for looking at it, but the fact that the majority of domains were parked was really the issue.
Yeah, and that's a large language existed in our draft report, so
it did.
I don't have a problem with keeping that. But I'm happy with the original language, but and I think that was always the reason why parking was we were attracted to the topic, right? Because it was so large, and we didn't know that it was.
That's right.
So I would be inclined to stick with the original language, but you know, we can maybe chat that over.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Why don't we move on to our topic number 4? This should be quite brief, actually, since it's I think we only have updates on one of these, which is recommendation 9 from Wodo, which I guess he sent to John Baptiste. Did you get that?
Yes, I did.
Okay. So why don't we take a quick look at that? Okay, and Wodo, do you just want to talk us through what you've found in looking at the public comments?
All right. Okay. Just a caveat, part of where it's still a work in progress. I've looked through the public comments, and most of them actually don't make any reference to recommendation number 9. There are only about 5 that do. Of the 5 that do, the edit that I've done to the recommendation so far is taking into consideration only 2 of them. That's one from Inter. Inter were concerned that their members had actually not been reviewed, been asked questions in the survey that was done. So the recommendation there, the addition is that all stakeholder groups should be included. And then there was one further comment that actually reinforced. I can't quite recall from which group. But there was one further comment. There are about 3 other comments that I'm yet to incorporate. But one of them is a bit overarching. The one from the ICANN group, the ICANN group that is actually talking about bundling together the recommendation 9 with a few other recommendations. I don't know whether I can get it here. Yeah. Bundle recommendation 9 with 11, 15, 26, and 36. So I'm still yet to see the impact of that on recommendation 9 alone. So maybe I'll do that a little bit later. And then Comlord also have a comment on recommendation 9 that I also have to see how to incorporate. Another one that is still pending is from, let's have a look, it's already there. Newstar. Newstar's comment is actually almost like the one for Rinta. They contact the sample that is going to be taken, that the sample should actually reflect the reality in the market. So that one, I think, is included. There's also a comment from the registry stakeholder group. I'm yet to incorporate that one. And I think that is all. So I'm yet to incorporate about two or three comments, and then I'll come up with a final suggested new for the recommendation 9. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
Okay.
See if anyone else has questions for Waldo and his work so far. All right. Not seeing anyone. So Waldo, I guess with regards to the INTA comments, and I guess to a certain extent the Newstar comment as well, I would be a little bit worried with the notion that INTA suggesting that you should make sure that, like, individual stakeholder groups get represented in this survey. I mean, it's not that surprising. So I guess it's not that surprising to me that INTA members weren't included in the initial survey, and that, you know, if you do a random sampling of domain names, not particularly surprising you wouldn't end up with INTA members represented there, or maybe there even were. I'm not sure if INTA actually did a check with its membership as to whether anyone happened to have received participated in the survey, in the study or not. That would be interesting to understand. But for sure, if we change the methodology to make sure specific groups were represented, I think that would have to be done very carefully to make sure that it was acknowledged that the sample was being skewed in order to make sure that specific groups were represented in that sample and potentially represented above their natural occurrence in the population. So, we have a separate recommendation that there should be an analysis of impact on trademark holders, and it doesn't seem to me that we need to both manipulate this registrant survey and do that separate study as well. So to the extent we are consolidating recommendations, maybe that's an opportunity to do so. But I would think you would get pretty different sort of types of responses from a generic registrant survey trademark oriented study, and it might be better to keep those two things separate.
What number is the recommendation for? Sorry, Jordan, what recommendation is that for the trademark holders alone? Suggesting that should be maybe bundled with this one.
I think it's either 10 or 40. I think it's number 40. Yeah, it's
10. I'll look for it later and see how to. It's not 40. I'll look for it later, don't worry.
Okay, there's definitely a recommendation that does to periodically repeat the impact analysis on trademark holders, which
okay.
is essentially the membership sort of cohort.
Okay, it's not it.
More about sort of constructing a good sample than making sure that the sample was representative of specific types of groups that might not naturally occur in the sample. All right, any other questions or comments for Waldo? All right, thanks, Waldo. We'll let you complete your analysis and see if you.
Jordan.
Yeah.
Okay. There's this other comment. I think it's from the registry stakeholder group about perceived benefit of the recommendation. How's the output in editing?
Sorry, could you what was the register folder on it?
Yeah, some it says, what is the perceived benefit of this recommendation? What would be the cost to carry it out, and would the benefit exceed the cost? Are we dealing with this issue of cost and benefits in the editing?
Yeah, I think at the minimum, we should make sure that the benefits of the... I think one thing we did agree on as a review team is that we ensure that the benefits were clearly articulated for each of the recommendations. So I think here, if you just look at the other, not the recommendation text itself, but sort of the rationale, that we should just make sure that clearly states why we think that this is what we're doing on a regular basis.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
All right. So I think that was our only, Jean-Baptiste, we haven't seen updates on any of the other recommendations this week, right?
No. I did not receive any other paper. No.
Right. Okay, so we'll hopefully be able to revisit the remainder of these on our next sub-team call. But that's all we've got to review today. Does anyone have any other business that we'd like to cover today before we leave the call? And a quick reminder at the end of the call. Okay, doesn't look like we have any other business, so we'll go ahead and wrap up for today. As a reminder, there is a plenary call tomorrow. Just to keep in mind that we are still aiming to try to send out a revised or a supplemental report with content related to both the CNS abuse study and the INTA study by the end of the month. So we'll be discussing, Drew should be sending out text on the CNS abuse study momentarily. We'll be discussing that on tomorrow's call, so strongly encourage everyone to tomorrow's plenary call at the same time. All right, thanks everyone for your participation today, and hopefully we'll see you or hear you on the call tomorrow.
Thanks, Jordan.